Raising the Bets is brought to you by the StarQuest Production Network and is made possible by our many generous patrons. If you'd like to support the podcast, please visit sqpn.com/give. You're listening to Raising the Bets, a family podcast of pirates and penguins. We're a Catholic couple raising five kids outside of Boston. Join us as we share the joys and challenges of marriage, homeschool, and our adventures near and far as we make sense of the world and experience the best parts of our culture. I'm Dom Bettinelli.
And I'm Melanie Bettinelli.
Happy Easter.
Happy Easter.
He has risen.
Uh-huh. I'm tired.
Well, maybe get a little bit of energy for the folks who are listening so we don't send them to sleep while they listen to the podcast.
Uh-huh.
So it's been a long Trader Woman and Easter Sunday. We're recording this a day later on Easter Monday, and we're still recovering. It's kind of funny how it's the day after the holiday that we're all like whacked with the tired stick, the whole family.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just like you're run out. The kids are kind of crazy, run out. You know, I mean, everyone's happy for the holiday, but it was
Easter Monday is always like this out here.
Yeah,
this is why I take Easter week off of school.
Yeah,
because nobody gets anything done. Anyway. Well,
it used to be that you get like an Easter holiday,
right?
People took Easter like Monday. Easter Monday was a holiday because you needed it.
You need it.
Yeah, it should be a holiday. So let's talk a little bit about our Triduum and our Easter. So we started with Holy Thursday. So we live streamed all of the Triduum and Easter masses from the Cathedral of the Holy Cross with Cardinal Sean on Catholic TV.
Right.
Which is good. So because it's a Catholic TV production and not, you know, Father doing his best with a iPhone on the altar, the production values are a bit higher. You know, you have multiple camera angles. The sound is generally better.
Although there's also the need to talk over some parts of the mass, which yes. I find annoying.
Yes, we talked about that. That's what I was going to bring up, is the need to now it's a silent part of the mass, so I'm going to talk about what we're seeing. We kind of know.
Just have the silence, thank you.
Yeah, or the hymn.
Yeah. Or I could like to listen to the hymn and maybe even sing along. It's kind of hard to do when you're talking over it.
Of course, as the one thing that we did, you know, realize is that there could in fact be a lot of people who are watching this who are not generally Catholic, who don't know how things work, and having explanation could be helpful to them. So there's that. But yeah, it's one of the prices you pay for the not live streamed version of things.
Right.
So
I wouldn't mind actually if it was like text on the screen as opposed to voiceover.
Constantly talking.
I could find that less annoying. Intrusive.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, they do that for everything. The Pope's Mass. Remember the Pope's Urbi et Orbi? Although that wasn't as bad. Like, it was at the beginning and end. It really wasn't during.
Right.
Anyway.
Well, sometimes when they do the translations, I'm just like, I kind of want to listen to the Italian. I know I'm in the minority but...
You know, you can kind of understand and follow it, but...
Right.
They didn't translate the Cardinal's Spanish.
They did not.
Which was okay, which was fine with that. So that's what...
Except for the readings. They did translate the readings that were in Spanish.
Right.
He
did kind of give a synopsis of the, especially on the vigil. So let's go back to Thursday. So there was after dinner, it was at 7:30. We came in, we watched it, and it was good. There was no, as everyone knows, there was no foot washing this year, which is fine. I get the meaning and symbolism of the foot washing, the humility, the service. But gosh, it's become such a touchstone, or you know, a flashpoint of controversy over the years that, frankly, it was nice to not have to deal with that online all this year. The people complaining, oh, it should only be men. No, it should be open to everyone. And then the back and forth. So I'm just glad not to have to deal with that.
Right.
And then, so that was Holy Thursday, which ended with a short procession to the tabernacle, which was different as opposed to procession to the altar of repose. But we at least got the Tanta Mergo.
Yeah, that was nice.
Yeah.
I like the Tanta Mergo.
Then Good Friday, where you made hot cross buns.
Actually, I made the hot cross buns on Thursday, but we ate them on Friday.
Yes. So there's that little bit of controversy. Should we be eating sweets on Good Friday?
I am firmly in the category of it's tradition to eat hot cross buns on Friday. Because, well, one, it is a long-standing tradition. Goes back to, according to some accounts, the 1300s in St. Albans Monastery, which used to hand out buns on Good Friday, marked with a cross. But I think that some people think that, you know, well, you're supposed to be fasting, so you shouldn't be having anything sweet. But it's not, I mean, if you're making your hot cross buns so they're sticky sweet, you're probably doing it wrong anyway. They shouldn't be that sweet.
They're not like cinnamon rolls.
No, it's like a mildly sweet bread. The only real sweet part of mine is the cross.
The little frosting. Cross of icing. Yes. Yeah.
But even that, I really think our salvation is sweet. At the Easter Vigil, we sing about the, you know, happy fault of Adam. The antiphon for morning prayer on Good Friday talks about the sweetness, the joy of the cross.
Right.
It is joyful as well as sorrowful.
As sorrowful as the event is, as sad as it is, there is that tinge of joy that comes from our salvation. That this is not meaningless death. That's the difference. That's a big difference. If this were a meaningless death, if they just killed Jesus and now he's done. You know, how sad it was.
That would be tragic.
That would be tragic. This is not tragic in that sense. This is victory. And, you know, there's joy in amongst the tragedy and the suffering. And that's what this is about. In fact, I think most people, modern Catholics who fast on bread and water on Wednesdays and Fridays or whatever, they're not fasting on the right kind of bread. I think we've mentioned this before. Fasting bread used to be full of nuts and fruits, and it wasn't let's hurt ourselves. We're depriving ourselves of regular food, but we're having this fasting bread. And so you refrained. The kids had
breakfast. I think Bella skipped lunch and just did breakfast and dinner. And then the hot cross bun
was for after,
which we had them after the Passion liturgy at 3. So, yeah, I fasted until then. So I broke my fast with my hot cross bun.
Right.
I really think that, you know, if you're fasting all day until you have a hot cross bun at 4:30 p.m., that's a pretty hardcore fast.
Yeah, that's a pretty good fast.
Now, if you're eating, you know, two meals, three meals plus a hot cross bun for dessert, that's maybe a little bit less spirit in the spirit of the day. I don't know.
Dessert kind of violates the sort of the fast,
right?
Period. Yeah, that is taking it to the step too far. But
it's a tradition that the kids really love and they look forward to every year, and it's fun.
Yeah,
most years I make the hot cross buns on the Friday, on Good Friday, but this year I made them a day ahead of time.
You were a baking whirlwind on the last 3 days of the week.
This is why I'm so tired today. I did a lot of baking.
You did. Yeah. So we'll get into that in a bit. And of course, so there was the liturgy from the Cathedral of the Holy Cross, which again was weird because I've seen the liturgy, the Good Friday liturgy at the cathedral, and it is full. There's people, throngs of people coming up to venerate the cross. Of course, it's Cathedral of the Holy Cross, and there is a relic of the true cross there, which we have venerated. And
right, the relic of the true cross is embedded in
the base of
a
cross,
the big crucifix that people venerate.
Yeah.
So when you go up to venerate the cross, you're actually venerating
the cross,
which is really cool.
Not just a cross, the cross.
Right. Actually, I have to share a little story here. I was once in the presence of a relic of the true cross.
Besides this one. Yeah.
I haven't seen the one at the cathedral.
Yeah.
But when you were working for the Archdiocese, they were giving away to employees some of the goods from rectories and schools that had been closed.
Right. We went to that closed trip.
So we got we got some crucifixes and we got a couple statues of Mary. And at that point we had a nursing baby and I like slipped into the back room to nurse the baby. And there sitting on the table next to me where I was perched on this chair was an altar stone. And it had been labeled very carefully in a little handwritten label, the relic was, or actually, no, I had the certificate, and it was the relic in the altar stone was the true cross.
Wow.
I was, like, really stunned. That was really so cool.
That would have been Ben, I guess?
I think it was Sophie.
No, it was because it...
No, it was Sophie.
It was? Okay, it was all Sophie. Right, all right. But, yeah, I guess. Yeah, wow, that's cool. Yeah, relics are cool. So that was lacking those crowds, those immense crowds and all of that.
It was beautiful and eerie.
Yeah. Stark is the
Which
word.
Which was kind of, I mean, for the Good Friday liturgy, that kind of felt appropriate.
It fit. Yeah.
Fitting. Not, I mean, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, should have been the other way, but for what it was, it felt right. Then, and we venerated the cross during this ceremony.
We took the crucifix off the office wall and everybody kissed it.
Yeah.
So, you know, we venerated our own crucifix in our own way, which actually that crucifix is one of the ones we got from that.
Right. From it was a closed church that had, they were warehousing all of the goods from.
I think the crucifixes
the
there, I think, had been in rectories or schools.
Yeah. Yeah.
Not from churches.
Right. Right. There was a lot of stuff from rectories, a lot of old furniture. Yeah, so that was Friday. And then, so for the vigil, who started the idea of dressing up? Was it Ben or Bella?
Bella really wanted to dress up in her. She said, can we wear our Easter clothes? I really want to wear all my jewelry and my nice dress. And we had about 50-50 for the kids.
Ben then wanted to put on his suit. So he had
full suit and tie and shoes.
Yes.
He and Bella were both wearing shoes, which I was very impressed with because I was not wearing shoes.
Sophie was in her black clothes that she was wearing all day.
She put on a scarf, though.
She did.
It was a black scarf.
Yes. Anthony put on his blazer over his Star Wars T-shirt.
Yeah, he was not.
And Lucy got you put
Lucy,
on her
Lucy
Sunday.
Put on her beautiful Easter dress. Yes. It was very pretty.
Yeah. And then you and I got dressed. I put on my a dress shirt, a tie, and my suit jacket.
And I put on my dress and the shawl that my sister had crocheted for me.
Yeah.
Really pretty.
Yes. Looked very nice. And then we set up an altar in front of the TV with our icon of the risen Christ and. We had a candle.
It's actually the icon of the harrowing of hell, which is my favorite.
Oh, is it? Okay. Yeah.
Jesus pulling Adam and Eve out of the tombs.
Right, 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 right.
It's really cool.
Yes. And then we had a candle. And during the first part of the Mass, where all the lights are low in the church, we kept the lights low here. All the lights were off, and we just had the candle. And that took, they did the short version of the readings, and that took over an hour, that part.
Yeah, they only did 4 of the Old Testament readings.
But they had the music, which the music is beautiful from the cathedral. Richard Clark does a great job. And they have like music that is really, I don't want to say professional, where it's, you really can't sing along. But then they also pair it with chorus, like the refrain that you can sing along to.
Yeah, what I really liked that, because like with the Kyrie, so the choir would do their really fancy Kyrie with all the notes that I can't possibly hit.
Yes.
And then they would repeat it in the very plain chant that but then the congregation could repeat.
Right.
So it was like 3 parts for each of the Kyrie, eleison, Kyrie, eleison, Christe, eleison. Like each of those had 3 sung parts, which took longer, but it was really beautiful.
Yes.
And they did that with the Sanctus and the other sung parts.
The Gloria.
The Gloria.
Yeah, the Sanctus, the Agnus Dei, the...
And for the Psalms, they were singing the refrains in Spanish and in English.
Yes, yes. There was it was very bilingual, and the cardinal, who is fluent in half a dozen languages, was switching back and forth, no problem.
Right, because he was a bishop in the Virgin Islands.
Yes, but right? when he first was ordained, he was pastor... in leading a Spanish center in Washington, D.C.
Right.
Working with immigrants. So, yes.
He has a PhD
in Portuguese literature.
I couldn't tell. Like, he was doing Portuguese and Spanish, I think.
I think there were points that he was doing Portuguese. I don't know enough to know by hearing it off the bat.
Usually I can sometimes tell the difference, but...
Yes,
not always.
Some of the words I can really tell the difference, but not always. Yeah. But so he was switching back and forth, and of course his homilies were great as always. The cardinal is very pastoral and always fun. You know, he's always got a good story to tell and little jokes and here and there. And but he really draws you into what the message. And so he always does a great job. So that was beautiful. We had, during the sprinkling with water, Melanie got the holy water and she doused us.
I sprinkled everybody.
Yes. sprinkle is like, you know, it, more like a downpour.
I said it might have been a little enthusiastic.
You were a little enthusiastic with the water, but that's okay. And then, and then it was very late by the end. So they were all fading.
But they all had a hot cross bun before they went to bed.
Yes. Yeah. Some of our kids, they fade quicker than others, and they had to get off to bed. But it was it started at 7:30. It was like 10? But
no, it was 9:30. I mean, it was like over by like 9:25. Okay, so it was just under 2 hours.
Yeah. I mean, I remember the Steubenville Easter Vigil Masses. They would do all of the prayers, mm-hmm. all of the readings. They would have multiple baptisms. It would start like at 7 and get over at 1 in the morning. It was...
I think the longest one I ever went to was at my parents' parish, where... Yeah, they would do all the readings, and they frequently would have like 40 baptisms.
Ugh.
40.
I mean, that's great.
It's very long. It's very long.
Well, in Steubenville, the chapel would be so crowded that some people would end up not just standing against the wall, not just standing up against the bench, but standing between those people, like without anything to lean against. I was one of those people once. Oh my gosh, longest night of my life. But yeah, and then there would be a resurrection party afterward where they'd have a band and food and you'd party till dawn.
I think at that point I would be going home to bed.
Yes, that would be you.
Yeah.
So that was our Easter vigil. And then Sunday morning, Easter Sunday, we the kids were up at the crack of dawn, as they do.
They let us sleep in a little bit.
A little bit.
I think I slept in almost till 8.
I think so. I think you. Yeah. Sorry, I was getting a drink of water. I thought you were going to talk mm-hmm. more.
Oh, no.
But yeah, I got up a little earlier than you. But it's funny that they won't touch anything, the baskets or anything, until you're up.
It's very polite of them.
Like we've never told them you can't touch them until we're up. But
no.
Although I might have when they were little, I might have been like, don't touch it. The mama it gets up and sees it and sees you opening things. And it might have to do with Christmas and St. Nicholas and that sort of stuff. So
it could be
probably connected to that. Anyway, so once they dug in, what did you get them for? Well, I'm sorry. What did Easter Bunny get them for?
No, they all know. It's me.
Okay.
They really do. Let's see. Everybody got a chocolate cross and a chocolate bunny and then various like jelly beans, M&M chocolate eggs, Reese's peanut butter eggs. Everybody got a blank draw your own comic book.
There have been some funny comics.
Which they all have taken to them quite well. I mean, they like drawing comic books anyway, and I had previously printed off individual pages, but this is like they each get a whole book.
Yeah, Anthony's done The Adventures of Fart Bomb Man. He is very, very nine.
Yeah. and see what else. Oh, and confetti eggs.
And then we had confetti eggs, which was completely new to me.
Right. So I grew up in Texas where the Mexican custom of cascarones is very popular. They're real eggshells that have you when you break them to cook them, you just cut off a little bit of the top and then pour out the egg. Then you dry them, dye them, fill them with confetti, and then tape a little bit of tissue paper over the hole.
And then they become confetti bombs.
And then they're confetti bombs and you crack them over people's heads.
Or throw them at each other.
Well, they don't really work very well. Anthony was trying to throw them, but you're supposed to just hold it in your hand and bang somebody on the noggin, and the confetti goes all over their head.
Yeah,
and it's very fun.
Yes, I had one of those. And there's confetti in your hair and everywhere. That's, yeah.
When I was a teen, I don't think we did it when we were really little, but we would do our own. We'd make several dozen of them, and then... crack them on each other's heads.
But you found these ones in the store here?
Yeah, they were at Walgreens. I don't even know. I don't know that anybody else was buying them. In fact, I might go back next time we need to go get milk and see if they still have any left.
To buy them up?
Yeah, because the kids, they went through three dozen of them in like 5 minutes flat.
Yeah, yeah. Well, there was confetti everywhere in the patio, but given the rain today, the ridiculous rainstorm we had, It looks like it's all gone, so it's fine.
Yeah. I told them they had to do it outside. Some of it got tracked into the house again, of course.
Of course.
But a lot less than it could have been if they were cracking them in the house.
It's Easter. You can vacuum it up.
The confetti and Easter grass, it's just a fact of Easter.
Like wrapping paper on Christmas.
Right.
So.
Except messier.
We ended up, because we couldn't visit with family, we ended up Zooming with family. I think that was the thing that everyone did this year. We Zoomed with my family after dinner. And then we Zoomed with your family, which was nice. I mean, because we live closer to my family, we go visit my family. I almost never get to talk to your family on holidays, so it was nice.
Right. Usually, if I call them at all, it's like when we're driving home from your family's or driving over to your
family's.
Or you
found a quiet corner at my brother's house or something.
Right, something like that. Like, but sometimes I don't even talk to my family at all on holidays, and I talk to them like the day after or something.
Yeah. But that was nice. We didn't get a chance to talk to your sister, Tree.
She did not mean to sleep through it, but she slept through it.
Right.
But they had water pipes bursting under their floors, and so they'd had a very loud industrial fan in their house.
Which she's nicknamed Moby Dick.
For the 5 days before Easter, and she woke up Easter morning, and she said it was gloriously silent, and she wasn't sure what to make of that. But I think she was catching up on lost sleep.
Right.
Because she said it was very, very loud.
So, but we did see everyone else, and then we saw, and of course, saw my family and my mom, and we even got a chance to see my dad, who, you know, like, was outside walking into the backyard and got a chance to wave from the iPad, I think it was. So that was nice. And then one thing we missed was our parish in the next town over, where we've talked about it before. Our pastor organized an Easter procession, an Easter parade.
A car procession.
Between the three churches that make up the parish or the collaborative.
Right. So they started at Our Lady of Lourdes. Everybody met at 2:00 he asked everyone to decorate their cars with balloons or other Easter symbols to express our Easter joy. And then they processed.
Are balloons an Easter symbol?
No, balloons and Easter symbols.
Oh, I thought you said balloons and other Easter symbols.
No, balloon.
I know. Ah.
Anyway, then they processed past Christ the King. And then ended up at St. Edith Stein, which is our parish church, and where everyone parked their cars.
It was like a drive-in theater.
Right? Yeah. And Father Michael brought out the Easter candle, which I don't know that he was able to light because it was very windy.
Yeah.
It was very windy. And he brought out the monstrance, and he did benediction in the parking lot, which I think was really cool.
And there was a bunch of pictures in the local paper.
Yeah, the local paper did a great job. They sent out a photographer who got pictures of the whole procession and the benediction. And the former mayor of Brockton was there holding the microphone for Father Michael.
Yep.
And I have to say, the most moving pictures, though, were the ones of Father's face. Was he was looking out at the congregation. He looked so happy.
Just happy to
just
see
so
everyone.
Full of joy.
Yeah.
I really was sad that we weren't able to be there, but at the time the procession started, we're still cooking dinner.
Right.
We did not get our acts together.
It was as actually usual, we miscalculated timing of things. But
horribly badly. We had to reschedule the Zoom with my family, in fact, because we were just running so late.
But, you know, one of the things that brought up something to me is, like, I feel for our pastors, our priests, who on Easter celebrated Mass alone, generally, and then had to stay in their rectories alone. They couldn't even go to their family's houses, you know, to be with them. And they couldn't be with the people
I think they're very sad and lonely.
Yes.
I mean, it's just as sad and lonely as we are for missing our friends and family. So are our priests. They're having a hard time, I think, some of them.
Right. I think so. So keep them in mind. So speaking of dinner and food, let's talk about what we made on Easter. So starting with breakfast. So you made an Easter bread.
Yeah, it was a cranberry orange bread, although I sort of was running low on cranberries. And so I ransacked the dried fruits, and it also had a handful of currants and some yellow raisins, golden raisins.
Oh, is that what that was?
Yep.
And then the almond.
And it, And it was filled with a combination of cream cheese and almond paste, which made it, almond paste can be super sweet.
Right.
The cream cheese kind of makes it mellow.
Yeah.
And then it adds some nice protein because, you know,
because
you're eating sweet bread for breakfast.
Yes.
And then I rolled it all up and then I stuck the top full of almonds. So it was very crunchy and nutty. Unfortunately, when I rolled it up, I did not pinch it well enough or something because most of the filling leaked out the bottom and then the whole bread kind of deflated into this very flat pancakey sort of.
Yeah.
It was very sad.
I mean, it was still yummy, but
It tasted good, but I don't know. I need to do something to keep that from happening next time. I don't know what.
And then I did the traditional deviled eggs.
Oh, my favorite. I love deviled eggs so much.
So we usually dye a couple dozen eggs, and I'll take one of those dozens and make deviled eggs. And I basically follow the Cook's Illustrated recipe. Although I added a dose of Tabasco roasted pepper sauce, which I really like. It's very smokier, and they always sprinkle with paprika because deviled eggs need paprika on
deviled
top.
Eggs and paprika, yes,
they,
absolutely,
they go together, and those go like crazy. Like between you, me, and Bella, we just wipe them out. And Sophie, right?
No, Bella doesn't like them.
Really,
you, me, and Sophie. That's
it. Okay, all right.
Bella doesn't
like yolks.
Bella does not like egg yolks, so deviled eggs are right out.
Yes, that's true.
But Sophie loves them.
Sophie loves yolks.
Right. It's just the three of us.
That's true.
The boys won't touch them, and Lucy's allergic to eggs. That's
fine by me. More for me.
More for us.
So that was breakfast.
Yeah.
Which had to hold us for quite a while, because we were making, we grilled, because the weather permitted it this year, which was nice. And you had picked up a rack of lamb at Whole Foods last week.
Yeah, a small rack of lamb.
One small rack. And so grilled that with a thyme rosemary rub on the meat itself. And then we made a roasted red pepper relish. So it was a roasted red pepper with garlic, which I should have roasted the garlic. It would have mellowed out.
Yeah, the garlic was too sharp.
It was too sharp. So next time we'll roast the garlic and cook it a little bit. Cilantro, lemon juice, honey, a little bit of honey, salt and pepper. And it was really good. So that was good as a relish on that. Went really well with it. Then we did another Cook's Illustrated recipe that we'd seen a video for on their YouTube channel recently. It's for a Japanese grilled flank steak and scallion rolls. It's called negamaki. If you go to a Japanese restaurant, that's what it is. And so it's basically flank steak cut into thin strips, rolled up.
Pounded.
Pounded flat and then rolled up with scallions in it and then grilled with a glaze, a soy sauce based glaze, and then cut into, like sushi rolls, size rolls. That was good. Next time I'm going to pound it a little thinner because it was a little tough.
It was a little chewy.
So they were a little overdone, I think, too, because I was trying to manage the lamb and the rolls at the same time.
Right.
So that was, I don't often cook two different things with two different timings. Then, and then the other thing I grilled was the eggplant. So we mentioned the eggplant before, that we make that grilled eggplant, but this time we didn't have any mint.
The mint sadly disappeared.
Yes. You bought mint, but neither of us can find it. So who knows where it went? we probably went bad. We threw it away. And neither of us remember, but which is entirely possible. So instead we took the other roasted red pepper, added cilantro instead of mint, put honey in it, garlic chili paste, the Asian garlic chili paste, and lemon juice. And that actually came out really well.
Yeah, it wasn't quite as good as the one with the mint, but it was good.
Then you made the potatoes, which were awesome.
I made these Greek potatoes. You cook them in chicken broth and lemon juice, equal parts chicken broth, lemon juice, and olive oil. On a sheet pan, and it's like there's swamp swimming in the liquid when you first put them in.
Yes.
And you're thinking, okay, how are these possibly going to be good? But
Yukon gold potatoes? Yeah.
Yukon gold potatoes, and you cut them into quarters. And then at the end, like the last 10 minutes, you turn them over. You put them cut side down first, and then you turn them over, and they brown up really nicely with this really good lemony.
And they absorb flavor. Almost all the liquid.
Yeah. Like a lemon, a really strong lemon and oregano flavor that was really good.
Yeah. Yeah. Really awesome. There wasn't much left.
And we had some asparagus and sweet potatoes.
And you made your challah.
And I made my challah.
Challah day bread.
Which I shaped like a cross.
Yes. Really.
A little fancy braiding there.
A fantastic. Yes. Very fancy braiding. It's not easy. And fantastically popular. Really good. Tender. Makes amazing toast.
I thought it was a little dried out this year. I don't know what I did. Yeah.
I thought it was really good. Today I toasted up a slice and had some of that roasted red pepper relish on it. It was really awesome.
Yum.
That was good. So, and then we had your favorite Riesling.
Mm-hmm. Chateau Saint Michel in the Columbia Valley, which my parents visited when I was a teen. And they visited the winery, and that has been my family's holiday wine of choice ever since.
It's really good. It's sweet.
Yeah, it's a nice sweet Riesling, but it's not sticky sweet.
No, it's not like a dessert.
It's kind of a crisp flavor, yeah. Kind of fruity, a little bit pear and peach maybe. Anyway, I really like it a lot.
It pairs well with the lamb. It always has. The generally the kids liked the lamb. Bella, Anthony, Lucy, and Sophie liked it too, right?
Yeah, they all liked it. Ben had even a few bites of it, but I think he had too much candy by the time dinner rolled around, and he was not feeling all that great. Poor kid.
Yeah, but they liked it better than the leg of lamb because rack of lamb is a much milder flavor
and tenderer cut.
Yeah, yeah. Although I really like that grilled leg of lamb we do with the paste.
Yeah,
the butterfly leg of lamb.
They didn't
have it at the store. Yeah. Yeah.
You do what you can.
Yeah. So that was, and then we had for dessert, you made a ricotta cheesecake pie.
Right.
And cookies. Bella made cookies.
Bella made chocolate cookies, and I made some amaretto almond cookies.
That Lucy can eat. Yes. Which are, they're really good. I mean, just even if you aren't allergic to flour or dairy or whatever, it's still really good.
Oh, yeah. These would be like holiday cookies regardless.
Yeah.
They're yummy.
So that's what we had. So, yeah. And then just after that, today we're just recovering.
Today has been a weird day anyway. We had
no school.
It was very rainy, very windy.
Oh my gosh, so windy. So we had our gazebo on the patio. I am so glad that your dad and I went through all the hassle. And it was a huge hassle to anchor that thing down. So there are 2-foot steel anchors in the ground that have wires coming from them and around the base of each leg. And this is some slack. So when the wind goes, that thing lifts. And it lifted a few times today.
It lifted it right off the edge of the patio onto the ground.
Yeah. I mean, like if it wasn't anchored, that thing would have been flipped over and broken.
Oh, yeah.
So.
It's not the first time it's been shifted by the wind.
Usually it's during a hurricane. And they were saying today is 65, 70 mile an hour winds and massive amounts of rain. At times it was coming down really good. The best thing, knock on wood, is that no leaks. There was no leaks in the living room. We had a really bad chimney leak a few years ago.
Yes.
That ended up, we had to get most of the living room ceiling torn down.
And we've had a really bad bathroom ceiling.
And we had a bathroom ceiling leak, which we got kind of fixed for nothing. Remember, we called the guy out to look at it. He kind of like nudged it back down. We think when the solar panels were put in, they might have knocked the hood for the bathroom vent loose. And so he pushed it back down. He said, look, I'm supposed to charge you, $300 to do anything. But, I didn't really do anything. So just call us next time have a roof thing you need done.
Yeah, he was very nice.
Yeah. It was the same company, the same guys who had redone the roof, the chimney for us last time, which we spent a minor fortune on. So, I think we're about even. But so this time, knock on wood, no water coming in, none of that. So. Thank God.
It was, our power did flicker once.
Not just flicker. It went out and then came back.
It did.
Yeah. I was worried because I was recording a bunch of podcasts today. I really got to get either a fall over generator that automatically kicks in so that you don't lose power or solar batteries or something. It's just,
yeah, we really should.
You know,
because this happens often enough, like once a year at least, we lose power.
Yes, our power. I've lived in this area most of my entire life, and we've never lost power as much as we've lost power here where we live in this town. It's just crazy. Although, again, we lucked out today. I looked at an outage map, and all the towns around us have, you know, 50%, 60% power outage, but today is just like almost zero. So we did pretty well. All right, we're going to cut this one short because we're, like you said, we're exhausted. It's late, and we'll be back next week. We have lots more to talk about some of the stuff we've been reading and watching and our usual things we want to talk about. But for now, we just want to leave you with Happy Easter.
Happy Easter.
And so we're going to take a moment to thank our patrons who make it possible for us to create Raising the Bets, including Christine, Pat, Steve, Dante, and Caroline. Their generous donations at sqpn.com/give make it possible for us to continue Raising the Bets and all the shows at StarQuest. You can join them by visiting sqpn.com/give. So that's it from us. What did you think of our discussion or anything we had to say? Or what did you have for Easter dinner? We'd love to hear from you guys and what you did and what you did on Easter. Did you live stream? Did you watch the vigil? Did you dress up for the vigil? We want to hear from you and what happened with you guys. And we'd love to share it with everyone. So let us know by commenting on the show at sqpn.com/bets. That's BETTS. Or the SQPN Facebook page, facebook.com/StarQuestMedia, or send an email to bets, BETTS, at sqpn.com. And remember to like Raising the Bets on the StarQuest Facebook page, retweet us on Twitter at where we're at SQPN, and leave comments there as well. We'd love to engage with you on social media. Until next time, I'm Don Bettinelli, and she's Melanie Bettinelli. Thank you for listening to Raising the Bets on StarQuest.